Good morning. It's the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 Fan Justin and Ailish. We got an NHL final set and an NBA final set. No more questions. And what a crew of teams. Vegas, Florida, Miami, and Denver. Just as we all scripted it out back in September.
Yeah. We have two finals set. Series ending last night. We're not going to have another night like last night for a while.
You're right.
Although I was a little overwhelmed. I was like, I'm a little out of my groove
they
in terms of...
both non-competitive sporting
which
events.
Which I think saved me.
Yeah, because if we were split-screening OT and buzzer beaters, my brain would have exploded.
Yeah, I had to watch about 5 minutes of that hockey game to know what the result was going to be.
Like the first five?
Yeah. Non-competitive
what
is right.
What a tough time to not show up. For multiple teams, really, last night. But bad night for anyone wearing green.
Yeah, Boston knows that feeling of not showing up. Mm-hmm. They made some history yesterday.
Ugh.
Becoming the first city to lose to an 8 seed at both as a 1 seed mm-hmm. with both hockey and basketball.
What a weird stat. In a game seven. At home.
It gets more and more specific as you go.
I don't know. Obviously, the Stars really just embarrass themselves. Boston? Like, how would you compare this to no-shows? Stars worse.
Stars was definitely worse. I mean, game seven, I guess maybe the stakes are a little bit higher. They had already gotten to the point where they forced the game seven. But I was pretty stunned about how Vegas just... And I don't even think it was Dallas, really. Like, yes, they didn't play that well, clearly. But I just think Vegas was like... Mm-hmm. If there was like four forces last night, the most powerful force was the Vegas Golden Knights. They were so, so dominant. And you can't really say the same, I don't think, about the Miami Heat. But the Boston Celtics were maybe the worst team out of the four last night. And therefore... they're not going home. They are home, and they're going to remain home. Because they didn't have a flight booked.
Yeah,
maybe that was the difference.
That's so funny. Yesterday on Twitter, it blew up pregame that the Miami Heat had a flight booked to Denver after the game instead of a flight booked to Miami. People were like, oh, my God, I can't believe they'd do that. Tempting fate. I'm like, of course they would do that. Why would you book a flight home when the championship starts on Thursday anyway? And I'm pretty sure the Miami Heat can afford to reroute a plane if they need to go home instead. It was, people thought, honestly, it was like the tarot card reading that Miami had sealed their fate by predicting that they'd win. I thought it was, everyone needs to relax.
The only difference is, like, you'd stay in Boston had you lost, right?
And then go home.
And then you go home the next day.
No, I think you'd probably go home.
Would you?
Yeah, I think you just get home.
Maybe you would go home.
Like,
but
you
I guess
go
you,
out
have,
in Boston?
You have to get to Denver as soon as possible.
Because yeah, so
you're right.
Book
the NBA finals start Thursday. You want to be here there. Today,
it's
this
not like
morning.
They're on American Airlines and they've sold out someone else's seat.
They did define where the flight was going, though. But I mean, imagine if it was the opposite. If you're like, oh, no, we're going home.
Yeah, you have to plan
like,
for...
Okay, then you did the opposite, which is more powerful than, oh, yeah, we're predicting that we're going to Denver.
It's like when Matthew Tkachuk packed a bag to be on the road for multiple days when they were backs up against the wall. What do you think he's going to pack for one day? Of course you're going to plan to
he
be on...
He did wear the same suit every game.
It's true. Like he had the karma or the... Mm-hmm. Or the whatever superstitions.
No, you gotta, I mean, I'm not the most prepared person in the world.
You always gotta be ready.
I could be, you know, the one person that doesn't have the toothbrush because they're not ready for a certain scenario.
Stuff.
But yeah, the appropriate thing to do would be to plan accordingly.
So they booked a flight and they boarded the flight last night. Mm-hmm. Miami Heat.
And part of the controversy was that Boston had not booked the flight. But
they knew they were gonna lose.
But they would stay home, wouldn't they? Like, it's... Because
in
Miami,
would home,
you would have
yes.
to go home, yep. And then you're going to Denver. This is just
so
about
stupid.
The ease of travel.
Of course, Boston
and
would have probably enjoyed, you know, okay, we won, stay home, let's get our stuff together tomorrow
morning.
We fly to Denver.
Yeah.
There is an altitude. There's a difference. Like, there's things they need to acclimate themselves to. Whatever.
That's a massive advantage, is it not?
Well, I wonder about that. So now we have a team that has been sitting around in Florida waiting to now face the Vegas Golden Knights, and we have a team in Denver been waiting around to face the Miami Heat. It's going to be really interesting when these series begin, and there's a couple days still, of course. We got the NBA final starting on Thursday and the NHL final starting on Saturday, so still more time for the Florida Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights to get ready. But, you know, it is kind of a quick turnaround for Miami, but Denver's been sitting around waiting, so... Those game ones will be really interesting to try to like handicap who's got the advantage. Of course, rest is an advantage, but rest can turn to rust. So I really wonder how we'll tee that up. We got days for that. But
well, I think Denver's got the sweet spot for sure because you are also coming into the Mile High.
But it's been a while since you played.
It has, I suppose.
Each team has an excuse.
It's been longer for Florida, though. Yeah. That is a long stretch between games. And I think that that's more like there's way more variance in the Stanley Cup final. I have no idea who's going to win between Vegas and Florida. I did look at last night's game and be like, well, no one's beating Vegas in that first period. Like, no one is surviving that first period. Doesn't matter who you are. This Stanley Cup final, though, I think I'm always going to be a little bitter because they're the two teams that took out the dream final. They're the teams that took out Toronto and Edmonton. And Toronto-Edmonton would have been unbelievable. But instead, now we have Florida-Vegas.
So I'll give you a preview of what the books think. In terms of the NBA final, which is set now.
Wait, let me guess.
Okay. Nuggets.
260.
Nuggets minus 385.
Whoa.
Heat plus 300. Maybe you should have got on the Heat plus 1600 like I did yesterday before they won.
Oh, you did? You didn't want to admit it.
I did.
Earlier.
And then in the NHL final, take a guess at Golden Knights Panthers.
Vegas minus 125.
Yeah, it's pretty much like a 120 plus 110 range. So they're thinking it's going to be closer than we think with the Florida Panthers, who've kind of defied all odds. So.
I want to say I like Vegas so much, but I've been burned how many times now? Four times now by the Florida Panthers.
What about a Florida parlay? The state of Florida winning after this.
Well, you could cook that up for us right now. That'd be some big money.
Anyway, Miami Heat board the plane after a pretty dominant performance last night, led by maybe some unsung Caleb Martin. I don't know who had stock in Caleb Martin, undrafted hero Caleb Martin, someone that was released from the Charlotte Hornets and picked up J. Cole, Toronto legend.
Oh, it was J. Cole.
J. Cole helped get him on the Miami Heat.
Mm.
Remember when J. Cole played for the Scarborough Shooting Stars?
Yeah. Anyway. I never actually saw footage of that. Does it exist? Did it really happen?
Oh, yeah. Did you not see the home opener where it was like sold out crowd? Anyway, J. Cole actually reached out to the Heat staff, urging them to sign Martin after he was cut by the Hornets in 2021.
Imagine
and look at him now.
Pat Riley, and you're like the most distinguished president, I assume he is. Anyway, the front-facing front office guy, one of the most legend guys, and you've got a local rapper being like, hey, you probably should sign this Caleb Martin kid. And then he's right about it.
And it worked. I wonder if Drake has ever put any calls in to Masai. Hey, I was playing pickup at my court in my house on the bridal path, and buddy from TMU scrolled in. You should sign him. You never know.
He torched me one-on-one.
He might have. So last night, Eastern Conference Finals MVP goes to Jimmy Butler over Caleb Martin. Now, it was a tight vote.
Mm-hmm.
We got 5 votes for Jimmy Butler and 4 votes for Caleb Martin. So it's pretty as close as it gets.
Just got his nose out front. I don't know. Am I surprised? I don't really know. I mean, Caleb Martin was definitely the best player down the stretch. That series devolved into Caleb Martin.
And a good story.
Butler's a good story, too.
Yeah, but Caleb Martin
lugged them to this point, and then Caleb Martin kind of took over at the end here. Maybe Jimmy Butler's hitting a wall. If he has, then the Miami Heat are in trouble. But it's kind of just like a legacy award a little bit, and I guess maybe the finals MVP isn't completely that. I mean, Andre Iguodala did steal one from Steph Curry, so maybe it's not just the biggest name, but it feels like just the biggest name. Like, it was Jason Tatum's to lose, it was Jimmy Butler's to lose, and I guess this kind of proves it, because Caleb Martin was probably the most valuable player in this series, based on what we saw.
Three 20-point games against Boston during the season sets a new record for the most points scored by an undrafted player in a conference or NBA final.
This is why either Miami or Boston was in trouble, though, because you got one of the best players of all time, one of the best centers of all time, one of the biggest, best big men of all time in his prime, playing at an unbelievable level on one side. And you've got the Miami Heat being carried to an NBA final by Caleb Martin. And that's no disrespect to Caleb Martin, but it's a big difference with this is a superstar driven league. And on one side, the West side, you have a legit superstar who may not be better than he's ever been right now against, again, Caleb Martin and Kyle Lowry, who's 37 years old, and Jimmy Butler, who might be banged up. That's true, but like I just cannot. I think the line might be justified. What was it? -380?
Yeah.
360?
It is.
I feel like Denver's in a really good spot here.
So storyline started real early in that game. Jason Tatum rolls his ankle on the first shot attempt, and you saw it every single time that the camera was able to cut to Jason Tatum's face. You saw him grimacing up and down the court. His post-game interview on the podium, he says, I don't want any sympathy, whatever injuries happen, and then he limps his way off the stage. It is true, that's how injuries happen, but everyone else kind of needed to elevate their game.
Wow. You taking a shot at Tatum here?
He's supposed to be a game seven clutch performer. What do you get? 14 points. I know he hurt himself, but you know, you had every piece of momentum going to that game. Everybody, even on the text line last night or yesterday, we had people texting me, he's going to get 40 points. He's going to go off, whatever. Like the Celtics did not show up. And that starts with your stars. Like, Bam Adebayo didn't really do it either. Right.
He's struggling.
And so there was, maybe the narrative was it wasn't all about the stars last night. Jimmy Butler did end up with 28 points, but it wasn't a prolific showing, at least in the first half.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. It was Derek White versus Caleb Martin, which is how do we get to the point where an Eastern Conference Final Game 7 between those two franchises, two of the most successful in the last couple decades, are being decided by role players. But that's kind of just, it says a lot about where the superstars are at. And I'll give some leniency to Jason Tatum last night because... Mm-hmm. If you are hobbled, it is difficult. And I don't know if he got the Patrick Mahomes emergency drug in between the two halves like mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes seemed to do because he came back better than ever, or at least as good as he was. But Jason Tatum was definitely affected. I guess the question is, like, is he too often affected by adversity or injury or other things that are happening? Because they felt... down 3-0 in part because Jason Tatum wasn't good enough.
That's right.
Jaylen Brown wasn't good enough. So they have themselves to blame for sure. Jason Tatum has himself to blame 100%. It's just, if you look at the context of game 7 in a vacuum, I guess, like, I can give him a little bit of rope.
Do you think that's the end of the Tatum and Brown duo?
I don't know. I wonder if you look at it and think, hey, we've definitely hit a ceiling here. Like, they didn't get slapped around like Denver, but what if they did? And you lose consecutive finals mm-hmm. and you can't measure up and you don't even know if you can measure up to what the second, third, fourth best teams in the Western Conference you've been able to handle. And I get a lot of the power did shift to the Eastern Conference. There were some really great teams in the Eastern Conference this year, but it feels like there's some sort of limit. Jaylen Brown disappearing like he did last night. He was terrible. Like, awful.
There you go. The stars
awful,
not
awful,
shining.
Awful. And it just seems like, okay, if you're going to put two superstars together, two supermax guys together, two guys who are going to be earning top dollar, you could have many better partnerships, and maybe that's a partnership that can't actually win.
I wonder if the Boston Celtics didn't come back and push a game 7, I wonder how many jobs would have been lost right after that series. I wonder how many jobs have been saved by pushing it to a game 7, or if that's still a loss is a loss. Like, it's obviously more respectful to get
pushed.
Kind of
the Maple Leafs argument again, right?
That's exactly it. To get pushed to a game 7 is a bit more respectful, obviously, than getting swept. But is it just like a smokescreen if you look at what needs to change with the Boston Celtics? I think a lot of questions loom. We will have Blake Murphy on later in the show. He's going to come in studio at 8. We'll do a whip around the NBA. We have Raptors news, which we'll get to. Some Blue Jays as well. We also got Kevin Harlan, who mm-hmm. called the game last night, of course, play-by-play announcer on NBA and TNT, who is an absolute legend in his own. We have Jeff Merrick at 7. And then, to wrap up our show, Milan Lucic coming all the way from, I don't know if he's back in Latvia, or he's still in Latvia, or he's home now, but he just won a gold medal at the IIHF World Championship, so we'll chat with him to round out our show. But we got some big questions looming in the offseason for the Celtics, of course. Do you want to move to...
Just quickly on these Miami teams, because mm-hmm. Miami and Florida, the Florida Panthers, they've had these similarities, right? Like 8 seeds coming on, upsetting, you know, teams that had true ambition, upsetting Boston-based mm-hmm. teams. They also have one other thing in common in that they were the best team in their conference the year prior. They both, not that there's a President's Trophy for the Miami Heat, but they were the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference just last year. Just like the Florida Panthers, they both dropped to the 8 seed, barely get in. Miami loses a play-in game. Chicago needs to beat Pittsburgh for Florida to get in, and they go on these runs. And I get they're improbable because they're 8 seeds, but they're also just a year removed from being number 1 seeds. And maybe, like, yeah, there's difference between 1 year to the next. There's roster, there's coaches, there's a lot, there's age. Kyle Lowry looks like a bit of a different guy. Things change, but when there is previous success, maybe we shouldn't write off those 8 seeds.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe the hope when a team gets to a point that they fall down. Jimmy Butler talked about that. His post-game clip from last season was resurfacing where he said, we'll be right back here next year and we'll have a different result. And he lived up to that. He got on the podium last night and was asked about that. And how'd you get there? Well, we just believed in ourselves. Like, we knew that we could be a better team and we would find a way through it. And so if you're a team that has gotten to that point and has faced failure, this is all about learning something. And maybe your veterans help you through that. And they certainly did. I guess that can be applied to many teams here in the city of Toronto. You lose, you lose, you lose. You find defeat. Did you actually learn something? As a... Captain John Tavares likes to say.
And did you learn something like immediately? Like Jimmy Butler saying that, yeah, it could have been lip service, but I felt like, and now it's easy to see and say in retrospect, but he felt like that was true. And he said it and he meant it. And he actually followed through on that. And not like, not to make this another Leaf thing, but do you hear any of that? Like actually, okay, going through an experience and learning are different things. And not that Jimmy Butler has to learn or he needs extra experiences, but after that experience of last year, it felt like they learned something and they were able to apply what they learned. And that's very, very important. And he lived up to his exact word, which is, we're going to be back here against them and we're going to do it this time. And despite 3 losses, despite blowing a 3-0 series lead and having to win on Boston's floor, they were still able to live up to that promise.
Never in doubt.
Apparently not.
Tough one for Boston fans to lose. Bruins season over, Celtics season over. The city, I guess the state of Florida, because they're not the same city. How far away are they?
I think they
belong
to the same.
We'll just say.
Miami claims Miami-esque. The Florida Panthers.
It's like the GTA.
It's like anything but Tampa.
There you go. Things are, vibes are high. Plus 750 if you parlay those 2 championships
That's
together.
That's it?
Yeah, it's kind of lame.
More than that.
It's kind of lame. All right. Well, we'll have lots of time to tee up the NBA final, which does begin Thursday. You got the Nuggets and you got the Heat. And the joke floating around is you heat up your Nuggets.
I did not see that floating around.
Are you kidding? It's every second tweet on my timeline is
really
heat up the Nuggets. It's like me in college. I'm like, okay. I mean, it's kind of funny, I guess.
It's okay.
All right. Lots to come for our NBA final preview. Let's talk Nick Nurse because we got real Raptors basketball news, folks. Raptors ask. 76ers officially hired Nick Nurse to be their head coach. This was yesterday's news drop after taking his time to ponder some other opportunities, including the Phoenix Suns. Nick Nurse has decided to go pair up with Joel Embiid.
I'm going to ask you right off the bat, tenable or untenable, which may be a new segment we unveil either this week or next. Joel Embiid and Nick Nurse working in Philly after Embiid's constant call-outs over Nick Nurse's complaining.
I think it's tenable for now. I think it's tenable with an asterisk. It is.
You're ready for this. You've been doing your preparation for this segment.
It just came out now.
Tenable with an asterisk.
Tenable with an asterisk. It's a really interesting dynamic, of course. An MVP that has called out Nick Nurse publicly, I think multiple times, even when they weren't even playing the Toronto Raptors, for begging for free throws and calling out referees. And it's like, look in the mirror, man. There's a dramatic partnership that is forming in the city of Philly. And it is going to be entertaining nonetheless, right? It is going to be very interesting. Now, of course, Nick Nurse had an opportunity to talk to Joel Embiid, I believe, before this even came together. You're not just going to waltz onto the team with an MVP superstar and not have that conversation. So I'm sure that there's at least a level of respect, because why is Nick Nurse living rent-free in Joel Embiid's head, right? There's a story, multiple playoff matchups between the Raptors and the Sixers. We know it's gone both ways. So there's a history there. We're going to see a lot of Nick Nurse moving forward, which will be fun for us. But I do wonder more about just superstar Joel Embiid and superstar-esque Nick Nurse, who likes his own.
Win a championship, you can call yourself
and
that.
And he likes his own
the sound buzz. Of his own voice.
He likes his own buzz.
Yeah.
I do think that there is a way that this goes horribly wrong, but I don't think I'm in the camp of it being untenable right away.
Yeah, there's definitely a chance it goes horribly wrong because it's Philly and it's Joel Embiid and it has gone horribly wrong up until this point, but it's definitely tenable. I mean, I think there's a obvious level of respect here.
Yeah.
And I think they definitely had that conversation. But who are you most comfortable criticizing just in life? The people you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're okay with like joking around and calling people out. Friends are much more easy to criticize than people that you actually have some sort of adversarial thing, at least to their face. All that can happen behind people's backs. Sure, I understand that. But I think there's some comfort there, enough comfort where Embiid can say things like that, where they can have on-court moments where they are arguing, but they're not like mad. They're kind of like smiling at each other a little bit. So I think they have almost a playful relationship already, despite being opponents and despite meeting each other in some really crucial high leverage spots in NBA games and NBA playoff games. So yeah, I definitely think this is a good move for Philly. I think Nick Nurse is the sort of guy to take a talent like Joel Embiid and try to build something that works, especially in the playoffs. They're going to lose some guys. They're a little
older. The James Harden thing is pretty big, too.
And James Harden, I guess, his departure would, you know, not that it's addition by subtraction, but it helps you get a little younger and refresh things just a little bit. But Joel Embiid's getting older. That team's getting older. Nick Nurse has thrived with an older team in 2019. The Toronto Raptors were an older team, and he was able to get, obviously, great results out of them. But I think they need more than just a championship-level coach, and Nick Nurse is that. Because the roster might not be as good. Not be as good as it needs to be. But I think they're going to have that opportunity.
The roster is really different, which for me, I think we're going to see what Nick Nurse could do with a roster that maybe Raptors fans had clamored for. He got a real center, and he got good shooting. What do we want as Raptors fans this year?
It's completely different. Yeah,
it is completely different. And I don't know, maybe Nick Nurse looked at that and thought, I would love to take a team with some pieces that I've been clamoring for and try to make it work. The problem with Nick Nurse, though, is you got some older players with some injury history. Are you going to be running them into the ground like you have here in Toronto? I mean, there's some younger talent in Toronto that put up pretty crazy numbers, and we look like, oh, you're really going to play, you know, Pascal Siakam that much?
Yeah.
Are you going to play Joel Embiid that much? I do wonder a little bit about having to maybe step back in that sense, but he does have completely different puzzle pieces. Like, I think that would be certainly an exciting challenge if I was a head coach. You got an MVP caliber guy who just won, and you have a team with high expectations who haven't won in what, 40 years. I don't have any question to why Nick Nurse saw that this would be a pretty exciting opportunity. We're going to see a lot of Nick Nurse.
And he's in the back. You seem like you're already bracing for
him
back there.
Just, you know, it's going to be, it's gonna be something.
I think from a Raptors standpoint, it's okay, because do I expect the Raptors? Maybe the Raptors, again, we talked about it yesterday. If they make a big deal, if they retool on the fly here, I think they could be a pretty good team pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think they're going to be standing in front of Philly next season? No, I think that's a bit hopeful. But Nick Nurse did have his choice, and I don't think the Raptors came into it at all. I think he'll be someone who revels in the revenge angle if he gets that opportunity. However, I think the teams that are going to be in most direct competition are ones, or at least one that he turned down. He was a finalist, apparently, for the Milwaukee Bucks, and he chose Philly over Milwaukee, at least it seems. He also chose Philly over the Phoenix Suns, who have an unbelievable level of talent, even if it's kind of a flawed roster at the same time. So he had his choice, and he may have went with the team with the most questions, the least amount of talent overall, maybe. But he did go to the team with the best player, and maybe the team that has the most opportunity to change some of the composition of its roster.
So remember when Nick Nurse got on the podium before a game at the end of the Raptors season and was asked, and he kind of took his own spin on what would be next for him, remember? Oh, yeah, I've been here for a long time. 10 years is a long time. It might be time to reflect. That was in Philadelphia. I know that has nothing to do with anything, but I just think it's funny.
Yeah, maybe he felt pretty comfortable there.
He liked it there. He sat in, I like this. like this press room. I can see myself doing lots of press conferences here. The Philly media thinks I'm a funny guy. I got my Nick Nurse hat on.
You're worried about this, eh?
I'm not worried.
You're worried.
I just think it's going to be so interesting. At least he's close that we can follow because, you know, it'll be lots of Nick Nurse stuff coming out. It'll be, I'm just telling you, if you're the schedule makers, it's got to be Philly and the Raptors night one. Like, what are you doing if it's not those two?
That would make some sense.
Done.
I would say Christmas, but that's not even.
No, I don't think we're ever getting a Christmas game
ever
again.
You got to win another title for that. Yeah.
Also, I said the Heat Nuggets joke was all over Twitter. You went from a doc to a nurse was the next joke all over Twitter.
I'm like proud of myself that I didn't think of either or see either of these things because they're terrible.
There's a lot. Anyway, we'll see. I think it is still tenable, but it certainly could go down
so officially
quickly.
Tenable.
Yes, we're thinking of a new segment, tenable and untenable, where we present things.
Listen, it's going to be a long summer, so just work with us.
It will be a long summer. All right, we got NHL Game 6. We talked about quickly, but tough show for the Dallas Stars. Tough show for Jamie Benn because he's out watching his team for two games, claw their way back with the momentum. He gets back in the lineup and they get absolutely steamrolled. I'm not saying that Jamie Benn was the problem or the issue, but didn't help himself in terms of the storyline of this series. Would you agree?
No, I mean, I think it was, they were really, really grasping, latching onto something. I don't know if it worked. I don't know if they actually believed it, but they kept saying, Jamie Benn, we got to get Jamie Benn back. We're working to get Jamie Benn back, our captain. It means so much.
We're playing for Jamie Benn.
We're playing for Jamie Benn. You can't play with Jamie Benn, apparently. And I think it's too simplistic to point him out. I mean, they got absolutely trucked. I mean, they were joking about taking a bite out of the elephant. That was the Pete DeBoer thing. Well, they got trampled by a herd of elephants last night, which were the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't think anything Jamie Benn could have done would have changed anything because they were non-competitive. Mm-hmm. Vegas just decided that the series was over last night, and they played like it from jump. So dominant early, they gave me the opportunity to switch to the Game 7 between the Celtics and Heat, so I don't know if it stayed that dominant, but it felt like from the start of the game that there was no chance and it wasn't going to matter if they had a motivational element, if they had a captain back, because they were simply not as good as Vegas last night. I guess it's something to chew on, though, if you're Jamie Benn. You got to chew on this all summer. If you're putting that team together, you got to continue to chew on that. The Sagan-Benn thing may not yield anything real. That team's getting a little older. That team's getting a little bit more expensive. Mm-hmm. The window closes on these teams faster than it opens and stays open. So Dallas is in a bit of a tough spot here. Lots of older guys, lots of guys making money. It's another lost season, I suppose.
How about Aiden Hill? And this guy came in with, I don't even know what his expectations were.
He would have been the fifth guy if everyone was healthy today.
Exactly.
Starting a training camp, he'd be number five.
And that's like, that's part of the storyline of this playoff series. Both teams coming into the final. Like, unsung-esque heroes or teams that people didn't put, or players that people didn't put a lot of stock into. Superstars emerging. Aiden Hill, he got shut out last night. Like, he's certainly a guy I don't know many people had the expectations to. I'm not sure. Is he a UFA? Yeah, he is a UFA this upcoming season, right?
Oh, you got some interest?
I'm just saying he's done a lot to add to his value, has he not?
He has. He definitely played outplayed Ott during the series, but he made 23 saves yesterday and saw like five shots in the first period.
I'm not saying that I'm going to sign him to a contract. I'm just saying that I think he's done a lot.
I just saw people like, where would they be without Aiden Hill? I'm like,
where would they be without Aiden Hill?
I think they'd be okay without Aiden Hill, to be honest.
I don't know. I'm going to take a look at his Conn Smythe odds.
Are you?
Just kidding.
I saw some buzz about it yesterday.
Well,
I'm like,
I think it's interesting. The guy came in with no expectations and is now the starting goalie in the NHL final.
The only chance would be split votes because Marchessault's been so good and Eichel's been so good and Stone's been so good and Petrangelo's been so good. Like, I got to go pretty far down the list before I'm giving much praise to Aiden Hill. That might be a little...
I'm going
to
give him praise.
I'm just like in terms of like lion's share of credit.
Praise
you can have. Lion's share of credit, different thing. I think a lot of goaltenders could make it work right now with Vegas.
Okay. Either way, we'll have a first-time winner of the Stanley Cup, which is...
That's cool.
That is cool. I'm excited for that storyline.
Does Vegas success bother you in any way?
No. Why? It's, because it's triggering for a lot of people. The cap a lot?
No, I'm just like, hey, you've been here for 6 years. You're already on the cusp.
I get that. I mean, maybe seeing Seattle in season two do as well as they did. I think there's some people frustrated by that too.
I'd be more annoyed by the Seattle Vegas conference final than Vegas.
See, that would have been story. People would be coming out of the woodwork to write stories about how expansion teams shouldn't have this opportunity to take players, whatever.
Like what Vegas has done, like overall transaction movement, difficult decisions, hard negotiations, hard discussions with people. Like Vegas has had a lifetime of that. In 6 years, they've been through a lot of teams, mm-hmm. a lot of players. They've done a lot, and they've worked really hard to get to this point, and they've burned a lot of bridges to get to this point. So on one hand, it's commendable. On the other hand, it's a little annoying, but it's not because of a lack of trying. They have definitely been full effort to put themselves back into this position after going to the Stanley Cup final in their expansion season.
How about the life of a beat writer for the next... what, a week and a half at least? The NHL Stanley Cup final begins on Saturday and ends... It would end...
Or the 19th, right?
It would end... No, past the 19th, I believe.
I think Game 7's the 19th.
Okay, so you got, what, a week and a half-ish? Or more? Back and forth from Florida to Vegas. I think that's a pretty good life if you're a beat writer right now.
More than a week and a half.
2 weeks of NHL playoff hockey finals. I do.
Two and a half.
I do think it's kind of spread out.
Like, it is 2.5 weeks.
Can we not have games every other night? It's like every third night. It's. I get it. You want everyone at their highest level of performance, but we're okay for it because it helps us stretch out content to talk about.
But also, like, it's really frustrating if these games are played on the same night and. To my knowledge, they're not at least
sense.
To start. So at least we have like a big game every night throughout the month of June. Like I'm okay if it slows down now because, you know, we want to watch these games. We want to talk about these games. We want to have time to talk about these games. If they were all jammed in, it would be a little bit less of an opportunity to do that. But also, it's pretty good if you're on the road. 2.5 weeks between Miami and Vegas would be pretty fun.
You're starting a Saturday night in Vegas this upcoming weekend.
And if you get to do all the NHL things, you're going to Nashville after that. Your month is going back and forth between Miami and Vegas and then ending up in Nashville. The livers will have to be rested.
Nashville's got, obviously, the NHL awards and the NHL draft all throughout the very last week of June after the Stanley Cup will be awarded, after you get to spend a month traveling covering this.
Not Do you know what day the NHL draft is?
Not a bad gift. It's the 28th on Wednesday
28th.
Night.
So
not a bad job.
Over the next 4 weeks, beginning tomorrow, people will be probably going to Vegas mm-hmm. sooner than later. 4 weeks, Vegas, Miami, maybe back to Vegas, then Nashville in about a four-week stretch.
Are there three better places in the United States to fly to in the next month?
If you had a bachelor or bachelorette party, I hope you already booked your flights.
It would be Vegas and Nashville are like the two hottest places right now in terms of people going to the States. Like everybody I see on my timeline is in Vegas or they're in Nashville. Nashville's like the new Vegas, right? Every bachelor party, every bachelorette party is mm-hmm. there. I mean,
Miami's there too.
Is not really, but if you're saying Miami, what else, what other city are you putting up there in terms of three hot spots in the United States to travel to right now?
Oof.
If you're looking for a good time, I don't think there is
maybe
one.
New York, but New York's tried and tested and maybe falling on that list a little bit.
I would put them third or fourth in terms of my interest level right now. I've never been to Vegas. I've never been to Nashville, and I have been to Miami as a younger
I've never been to
person.
Like Miami.
Yeah, I've never done
I've
like
been to Sunrise to watch a Florida game. Yeah.
I've never done Miami like you would do it as an adult. That's
no,
what I'm saying.
I've never done that. I've done Vegas as an adult. I've done Nashville as an adult. Miami's, yeah.
I guess we could put LA in this.
Yeah, we probably. LA seems like it's fading a little bit, though.
I don't know anyone that's just going to LA for, like, kicks.
You go there if you want to be a star.
Yeah, but for me, it would be these three cities almost.
I might go LA over Miami.
Well, someone from Sportsnet will certainly be doing all three of these. So if you're looking for a tag along.
Who's like the guaranteed?
Well, they announced, well, of course, probably the guys covering it, right?
Oh, yeah, the broadcast team, but are they at the draft? Who's going to all three events?
I bet. So I'm just
pulling up. Is Bukauskas going to all three events?
Yeah, Kyle Bukauskas is going to every event. Kevin Bieksa might be.
I think Amber's going to the cup final.
Yeah, okay, so I'm looking right now on the Stanley Cup PR, Sportsnet PR tweeted this out. Our panel will be Ron, David, Elliot, Kelly, Jennifer, and Kevin.
Elliot will be in Nashville.
Of course, Elliot will be on the podium in Nashville. Yeah. He's going to be at all.
Well, we got Merrick at 7. We can ask Merrick.
Broadcast booth, CC, Craig Simpson, and then reporter Kyle.
Kyle's the only option for Nashville there.
What a life.
You'd have broken ribs if
Let's
you went to.
Let's get Kyle on the show at
what
the end of
What a month for Kyle Bukauskas.
June. See, yeah, he's a pro, though.
From Encore Beach Club to the Elbow Room and back.
I feel like he...
Tootsies, like he's going to have it all
he
covered.
He gets the bed early, and he's a pro.
He is, though.
Yeah, he's putting the cucumbers on his eyes, and he's snoozing real early.
If Kyle was more about Kyle, it could be an epic month for Kyle.
Damn. All right. We have done shows on the road before, Justin and I.
Yeah.
We did the Jays Care Golf Tournament at... what was that golf course we went to? It was nice.
What is that golf course? The country club.
Yeah, the country club. That was nice. We went there. Woodbridge, the country club. A beautiful spot. We would be super open to continuing to extend our shows on the road.
I'll even like vacate the space that Kyle was once in. Like just if it needs to be held for him.
Somebody texted in Scottsdale. That's up there too. I forgot about that. That's a hot bachelor party.
Yeah.
That place is going. I'm seeing people now are buying houses in Scottsdale specifically to make them into like bachelor, bachelorette pads and then Airbnb-ing them. My friend, I think she's currently there. She's going. She posted this Airbnb that she rented for her bachelorette. And the inside is like Instagram central.
Yeah, they're all Instagrammed
it's
up.
It's all pink. There's flamingos. There's like little photo areas in the house with palm trees.
There's like bridal. I know you're not. Well, you might be getting married. There's like bridal suites
where there's
four vanities lined
exactly.
up.
What an investment, honestly, because buying a house in, you know, outside of Scottsdale, I don't know how much. It's definitely not the price of buying a condo in Toronto. You put some money into it, you paint everything pink, you get a pool out there, you get a little cabana action, and then
some fake grass you don't need to deal with.
Six girls fly in from Toronto and they have the time of their life.
It's a money pit.
It is a money pit. It is a money pit. We should be investing in a bachelor pad in Arizona.
Why? This seems like the key though, because this one's already passed. Is which city is the next bachelorette?
So we got a text in here. Curtis in Oshawa says New Orleans is fun.
New Orleans is cool.
I've never been there.
But I do want
to
go.
God, we've been to no fun places.
I've been to all those places.
Oh.
Except for Miami.
Someone goes, what's going on in Nashville? I've lost it. Well, they're doing the NHL draft there and NHL awards. And we're just in general talking about how Nashville is party central.
Basically, Nashville is closing the show on the NHL season, meaning that everyone's going to party in Nashville for a week at the draft and the awards.
Sounds like a fun time.
Does sound like a fun time.
All right. More to come in terms of teeing up the NHL final. We got that Saturday night. Everything begins. We'll have Jeff Merrick at 7 o'clock to get that. Oh, you know, we'll start the conversation about we have the final two teams named. Jays open their series tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers, who are in town. I feel like we don't get to see them very much, so that'll be a fun one. Tonight is Looney Dog, so everybody this morning, light brekkies, okay?
Have you made your decision on tonight?
Might be a game day decision. Light brekkies.
Maybe a double workout and then go?
I did do a double workout yesterday accidentally because I forgot to unbook a class. And at that point, I'm looking at it like a cancellation fee of $30 or I just go and grind it out. So I double worked out yesterday and I'm struggling this morning, folks.
That really is the greatest motivator when it comes to working out. If
like,
you just
do I
pay,
pay 30
up front,
bucks?
Just pay up front and have to like force yourself to make a decision of whether or not you want to do the opposite.
Two-a-days in the
do
middle
the opposite of buy
May.
A Scottsdale thing and just burn money.
All right. So Blue Jays looking to kind of end May, maybe on a bit of a positive note. Three-game series against the Brewers. They start tonight. We got, believe it's Kikuch on the mound.
Why the sigh?
Well, he's kind of lost a little bit the luster of Kikuchi.
And it is still May.
He's going against Hauser on the other side. And then who do
Randy?
Adrian. Hauser. Manoa on Wednesday, and then Kevin Gausman. So they've got some major turnaround opportunities. How about that? That's the spin.
It's that turn in the rotation.
Turnaround time.
It's that turn in the rotation. So hopefully the bats can come alive against Milwaukee, because it's probably going to be needed with Kikuchi and Manoa leading this series for the Toronto Blue Jays.
One last thing before we take a break. It'd be good to play this before we get Jeff Merrick on the show. We have a little bit of 32 Thoughts, the podcast / Elliot Friedman clip. I'll tee this up for Josh to get ready. Obviously, got some Maple Leafs GM stuff looming. Continued to give us some information on 32 Thoughts, the podcast. This is on Monday's episode of the pod. So everybody's kind of in Kamloops for the Memorial Cup. So maybe some things are going to sprinkle out in terms of information. But a couple clips from Friedman, but I think specifically Friedman on the Leafs GM search would be a good one to play.
Of course. Your daily update.
Your daily update on where we're at, Elliot, on the Leafs GM search.
Well, I don't think I should be the only one taking credit for Brad Treliving. I think everybody pretty much is. You know, he was in Toronto last week, and I think as much as you could name someone a favorite just days into the process, I think that he would be one. Now, I'm getting mixed intel on this. Someone else told me that there was another person who came in, but I haven't been able to prove who it was. I don't believe it was Peter Chiarelli. It certainly wasn't Doug Armstrong, who was winning a gold medal on Sunday.
Congratulations.
You know, Mark Bergevin was overseas too. I heard he got interviewed by Zoom, or they talked to him by Zoom. As I mentioned, I heard they talked to Doug Wilson, but I don't think it was him. I don't think it was Mark Hunter. I undoubtedly think there's people there that the Leafs have talked to that we haven't figured out yet. There's no question about that. I don't believe it was Jason Botterill either. So I think this is one of these things where Shanahan and the Leafs have basically reached out to a lot of people. I just think the question is, who's actually getting interviewed? And the only person I can find so far who I know has been interviewed face-to-face is Treliving.
Don't you think it's weird that nobody can figure out who these like mysterious people are?
We need people tracking planes again.
We need someone to camp out at 50 Bay is it 50? Yeah. Whatever one it is, you know, this entrance there. And just give us the scoop.
Do you think there's like, there must be like secret entrances and stuff that we have no idea
underground.
Which goes on.
The players don't walk in from Union Station.
No, but they exit like right into the public. You know where they exit, right? Like it's a little, I'm surprised it's that easy to access them.
There's some secret stuff going on.
If I was tracking planes, by the way, I don't know if they're flying home from Riga or Tampere, I believe it's pronounced, but I might be a little interested in where a flight is coming from those. I was thinking about this yesterday. He was talking about it with someone. Doug Armstrong has said nothing.
I agree that this is interesting.
And I know he's been busy. He's been overseas. I get all that. But if everyone's talking about you, or a lot of people are talking about you, and you have a job, like if everyone's talking about you doing something else, I know you actually, maybe that's not a great example because you can't really say anything in media. But if you're Doug Armstrong and everyone's talking about you, would you not say, hey, I'm happy with where I am, because I'm sure people are reaching out for comment and he's not saying anything. Mm-hmm. Like people have access to Doug Armstrong. Reporters have access to Doug Armstrong. I bet many of them do. I'm sure they've sent text messages. Is he not replying?
He's like, I don't have a phone in Riga.
I don't have service in Riga. I don't buy that. I don't know why he's being quiet, but if he wanted to put this to bed, he could have already.
He certainly could have.
We got Jeff Merrick on at 7. I want to ask him that.
Okay, one last one before we take a break. There was speculation that somebody in the Leafs organization might have been the Leafs' preferred choice for an interim GM. This is who, this is who Friedman thinks it was.
You know, one other thing about Spezza, Jeff, the timing of his resignation in Toronto has people wondering if initially he was the plan, the organizational plan, to take over as interim general manager after Dubas left. I don't know if we'll ever get confirmation on that, but certainly that's one of the theories.
I'm sorry, but you would have lost me if you did that.
I was about to say, can you imagine Toronto? Spets is a beloved guy.
Yeah.
Incredible person.
Yeah.
Was he the right fit for an interim GM? No.
11 months ago. Or was it 11 months ago? Probably 12 months ago. Yeah. Wasn't he in the seats at either Memorial Cup or the World Championship or whatever, like furiously jotting down notes and like trying to figure out how to be someone who scouts hockey players? Like, it's a little bit, we romanticized it way beyond. We don't even know what value Jason Spezza, and I might be diminishing the value Jason Spezza brought to the organization, but that's the definition of too much too soon.
That would have broken everybody here in the city of Toronto.
It would have been Pridham and then Spezza just...
I like the guy, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's you need more than just being a good figure and a good friend to Kyle Dubas. But he was out the second that Dubas was...
He was a good friend, indeed.
So we'll see. All right, let's take a break. We got the A-list on the other side. Jeff Merrick joins us at 7. We can ponder some of these questions with him. Kevin Harlan, play-by-play announcer, NBA and TNT, of course, got to see that incredible end of Game 6 and then the less incredible end of Game 7, and he was part of calling those. Blake Murphy in studio at 8 o'clock, host of Jays Talk Plus, and, of course, Raptors expert. He does it all. And then Milan Lucic is joining us at 8:30, fresh off a gold medal at the IIHF World Hockey Championship.
Maybe he knows what Dougie's up to.
Oh, yeah, maybe he's on the plane with him right now. A-list is next.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong,
bing bong,
bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Okay, very important announcement. This is a spoiler alert for Succession. So if you have not watched the finale
of
Succession.
This is questionable tactics from you here.
It's Tuesday, buddy.
Tuesday?
I'm giving a spoiler alert so people can mute or come back
hours.
At 7 a.m. to talk to Jeff Merrick.
No, it's been more.
It is a bit of a spoiler alert. I'm going to say it one more time. Spoiler alert. Reach for your.
One more time.
Spoiler alert. Reach for your volume knob.
Come
we'll
back
see
in
you
2 minutes.
7, okay?
Or 7, yeah, that's safer.
Come back at 7. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Okay. We good? I think I've done enough.
Someone's going to turn on the radio right now, so say it one more time.
Okay, so this has been floating around 3.5 million views on Twitter. So if you haven't seen it yet on Twitter either, I'm doing my best to warn you.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so there's a video circulating on Twitter that was from a little while ago. Basically, the ending of Succession was already kind of scripted out, and I guess you could have drawn a conclusion if you had done the work. There's a website called Nameberry, I believe, and they kind of just analyze names. I'm going to look up Ailish afterwards. Yeah. Anyway, the editor-in-chief, Sophie, explained on TikTok how Succession's names were very intentional and that, you know what? Play the clip. Spoiler alert. Play the clip and you'll understand why this is related to sports. Spoiler alert.
If you watched Succession, you may have noticed that many of the names are very, very intentional. Siobhan's nickname, Shiv, can also refer to a knife, and the family's surname, Roy, literally means king. Typically, TV writers use relatively common surnames for their characters. There are various reasons why they do this, and we don't have time to get into it right now. So always pay attention when there's a highly unusual surname on a TV show. In Succession, that surname, of course, is Wamsgans. Wamsgans is a very rare German surname. Gans means goose in German, and the Wams part of the surname comes from the Gothic given name Wamba, which means big paunch. Wamba also shares roots with the English word womb. Taken all together, we can interpret Wamsgans to mean goose with a big belly, pregnant goose, or most likely a goose down vest or coat, since a coat or vest would cover that part of the body. But all of this is just background information. None of it relates to who Tom is as a character. No, the real reason he was given the last name Wamsgans is because of this guy. This is Bill Wamsgans, an MLB player during the early 20th century. He is remembered for one thing, and that is completing the only unassisted triple play in World Series history. He took out three players at once in what is essentially the finale of baseball. It's no coincidence that Tom shares a surname with Bill Wamsgans, so you have to wonder if Tom will complete an unassisted triple play and take out all three of the Roy siblings to become the leader of Waystar Royco in the Succession finale. Let us know what you think about this theory and go to nameberry.com to read more about the name.
And spoiler alert.
it's out there now, Ailish.
Wamsgam. Tom Wamsgam.
Yeah. I was going to say too many, like some people have too much time on their hands, but 3.0 million views and the correct prediction.
It is. Well,
that's why you do your research.
Pulling off a triple play on the biggest stage, taking home the crown.
Three outs.
I'm just saying, there's something about it. So next time you watch a show, look at the last names. And I don't. This can't be unintentional, right? Like, are you in the camp that this, if you had just figured it out earlier, you would be a millionaire? Predicted it?
I suppose.
I mean, I don't know why you would pick that last name if you did not know about the history of this baseball player that did the exact same thing that happened.
It seems too coincidental. Because it's such a random name. Like, how would you ever come up with that without... Like, you wouldn't just come up with that name.
Right, and the writers obviously think of every single detail down to the core.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
Now every good show, I'm going to be researching names.
Well, I can't believe it went this long without really anyone putting any thought into who the heck is Tom Wamsgams.
It's a great name.
Anyway, so hopefully nobody spoiled that.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, forget that we ever talked about this unassisted triple play.
Because you should watch it anyway. All right. I wonder what Merrick means.
Let's do it. Let's look it up in the break.
We're going to look it up. We got Jeff Merrick on the other side of the break of the Jeff Merrick Show and Coast of 32 Thoughts, a podcast. Lots of nuggets that we need to uncover. Let's see what he's got for us. That's on the other side.